Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Are you ready for step number 5? If you follow the Beacon Broadcast on a regular basis, you know that we are going through the passage in James chapter 4, verses 7 and following, and extracting from it 6 steps that are necessary to restore a believer to vibrant spiritual health. When we are aware that we are not as close to the Lord as we ought to be, not as close to the Lord as once we were, when our heart is cold and we are aware of that, what can we do? And sometimes we just get into a spiritual slump and don't think there's anything we can do. But there are very definite and biblical steps to take. And that's what Pastor James is giving to us here, and they are vitally important. So thank you for joining me on the Beacon Broadcast on this Friday, July 27. And we are very grateful for those of you who respond to our need of financial support to keep the Beacon Broadcast on this station. The passage in James chapter 4 begins at verse 7, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." We're ready today for step number 5. Let me review the first 4. Number 1, resubmit yourself to God's sovereign rule. Verse 7, therefore submit to God. Number 2, reject every approach by Satan. Also verse 7. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Number 3, seek enhanced communion with God. Verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Number 4, confess and forsake every known sin. Verse 8, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And now, step number 5, grieve over your waywardness. Verse 9, lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Lament, mourn, weep. It is a command. This is language that sounds like it may have been borrowed from the Old Testament prophets. But it is a reminder that we are to express, to feel, and to express godly sorrow for our sins. There is a difference, the Bible tells us, between worldly sorrow and godly sorrow. And we need to ask God to give us genuine spiritual sorrow, godly sorrow, because of our sins. And whenever there is a distance between us and God, there is always some failure on our part that has brought us to that condition. I think about the words in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul says it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you in the Corinthian church, and such sexual immorality is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man should have his father's wife. And then he says in verse 2, "And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. You are puffed up and have not mourned. What was the proper response in that situation? To mourn. As James says here, lament and mourn and weep. We are to grieve over our waywardness. The word grieves means to be wretched, to be afflicted, to make yourself wretched. In Bible days, it was not uncommon for those who were mourning to demonstrate that by putting on different clothes, torn clothes, dirty clothes, and to sit in ashes as a demonstration that they were mourning, they are grieving. Grieving, in most cases, for some calamity that has come into their lives or come into the nation. Grieving, generally, because of a death, a bereavement. But James tells us that we should be mourning for our sins. Lament, or grieve, and mourn, and weep. Mourn is a word that indicates outward expression of grief. To mourn is to not only feel grief, but to express grief, to lament, to wail, to cry, to mourn. When someone has lost a loved one, we might say they are still in mourning. What do we mean by that? We mean that there are still elements of their life that have not returned to normal. They are demonstrating by their altered schedule, by their altered behavior, by a different way of acting and interacting with family and friends, they are demonstrating that they are not done with the grieving process. They are still mourning the loss of a mate, the loss of a child, the loss of a father or mother, a loss that has hit them very deeply. They are still in mourning. Well, that's the idea. But here, to mourn for our sins. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep for your sins. Lament and mourn and weep, or grieve and mourn and wail, wailing for your sins. In Bible days, it was customary to wail for the dead. In fact, it was customary to hire professional mourners for a funeral. People who would come for an agreed-upon price and would actually carry out the act of wailing, of outward mourning, in order to broadcast the greatness of the grief, to have some other people there to help with that, to make sure that everybody knows that this is a serious, serious loss. Well, God is saying, when it comes to your waywardness from me, you need to treat this seriously. You need to indicate that this is a serious loss. It's not just a little minor inconvenience that when I pray, I don't feel the presence of God like I used to and like I'd like to. Tra-la-la-la-la, I'm sure it'll all come back later. Nope. Grieve. Mourn. Wail. Think of Peter sobbing over his sin when the reality of his denial of Christ struck home to his heart, and he went out and wept bitterly because of his sin. He was grieving, he was mourning, he was wailing because of his sin against Christ. It struck him very deeply. And when it did, it changed his appearance, it changed his habits, it changed his way of relating to other people. He had to take a time out and deal with his sin by mourning for his sin. Where is this among Christians today? Where is this in churches today? God uses trials to weed out rebelliousness from our hearts, and God expects us to recognize our sin and to deal with our rebellion. And if we will deal with it thoroughly, seriously, then God won't have to deal with it any further. But if we won't, God will. Change your laughter to mourning. Change your joy to gloom. Again, verse 9, lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Now, it's not uncommon among Christians in the 21st century to take the attitude that God wants his children to be happy, happy, happy all the time. We should never express grief. We should never mourn. If we are feeling grief, then snap out of it, cover it up with praise songs, cover it up with happy music, cover it up with an exterior of happiness and joy, as if everything is all right when it's not. But God says, no, I want you to demonstrate the seriousness of this issue, the seriousness of your waywardness, the seriousness of this impaired relationship, this relationship of fellowship between you and me. I expect you to deal with that as a serious matter, as a serious loss, just like you would consider the loss of a close loved one, a child, or a parent, or your spouse as a deep and grievous loss, and would expect to express that in mourning. I expect you to treat the loss of a close relationship with me as a serious loss. And what the Lord is teaching us here through James is that serious mourning precedes genuine joy. This is not the permanent situation, the grieving, the mourning, the wailing, but it is a necessary element on the path to genuine joy. We have too much of the superficial and artificial that is not real, is not genuine. We'll never have the genuine until we learn to deal seriously with the offenses that have taken the joy away. We need regular times of sober reflection, both in our private lives and at times in the church. We must not allow entertainment to drive out serious reflection, even at church. That's the world in which we live. That's the day in which we live. Everybody is going to surround themselves with entertainment and happy sounds, music, and something going on all the time to drive out serious reflection. That is an enormous mistake. We do that in private, and many times we do that in church. Sometimes in church, there are the people that just cannot stand anything except happy expressions all the time. Well, read the Psalms. Recognize that God at times is worshipped with joy. God at times is worshipped with mourning when that's appropriate. Sometimes in church people can't stand a long pause. We can't have any silence. We can't have any time for reflection. Again, a mistake. Something wrong with that thinking. Something wrong with that philosophy. It betrays that we don't understand this principle that we must grieve over our waywardness. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.